So if I've learned anything in my 51 years, it's that a yes is tougher to come by than a no. Yes, I'll try that new activity with you. Yes, I'll get up in a tie and sing. Yes, we can change the way things are done. Yes, I want to risk my heart and meet someone to be friends with, or maybe even fall in love with. Yes, I want to move again. You get the idea. The no's come more quickly and more easily. No, I don't have time for that. No, I can't do that. No, I don't want to try that. No, that's not how it's done. No, I don't like that person. Again, you get the idea. And this isn't because we humans don't want to change, but we do fear change. And in some ways, rightfully so, our bodies, our minds, our hearts, they know how to be balanced in the familiar. If we live in safety, we don't have to constantly be on guard for what might come. Our bodies biologically search for stasis. We search for equilibrium, except when we don't. For we do say yes to that which scares us, that which is a complete leap of faith. Maybe it's love you make yourself open to, or parenting. Parenting seems scary to me. Maybe it's a new career or a different way of living. Or it can be a condition one would never ask for. Illness, widowhood, a broken family system, isolation, poverty, an abusive relationship, addiction, mental illness, and the list goes on. But even there, there's a quieter, but a very persistent yes. Yes, I'll get through this. Yes, I want to see what's on the other side of this grief. Yes, I can keep moving forward. Yes to this day. The yeses we're speaking of here are the ones of acclimation, the ways we invoke life, understanding that that invocation is a risk. It can be as simple as the adrenaline rush we get on a roller coaster, or as profound as the decision when we may decide to make a substantial life change. Both involve decision-making, weighing our actions against the consequences, but deciding at the end of the day to say yes, yes, I'll leave this zone of safety. I remember being in my 20s, plagued by panic attacks. For those of you that haven't experienced them, they're terrifying. One's body hears everything as life and death in circumstances that aren't actually risky. From large gatherings to the simple act of driving, all of this could set off a rush of adrenaline that left me exhausted and shaken. And it took me years to learn how to reset that mechanism. And in the meantime, I said no much more often than I said yes. To my mind, that no was an act of safety. It was an act of self-preservation. So when I was finally free of the panic, I learned to say yes to everything. Yes to love, yes to trying something new, yes, yes, yes. And I can't help think about that today, January 6th. In the Christian faith, it's the Feast of Epiphany. It's a celebration this day every year of the three wise beings, I still am not sure they're men, of the three wise beings who visited the baby Jesus in the manger, as the story goes, and specifically of their anointing, their baptism of that beloved baby. And yes, I know that's not our language and that's not what's resonant with most here, but I want you to get what it means. Epiphany is Greek, meaning roughly revealed to the world. This is the day, year after year, when we celebrate, just as we enter the new year, how we might reveal ourselves to the world in a brand new way. When I talked at Christmas about the holiness of all, those weren't pretty words meant simply to affirm the season. It's the truth as I understand it. It's each of us being revealed to the world and to ourselves once again. And for reasons I don't entirely understand, we celebrate that newness by limiting ourselves with resolutions. Every new year, you hear the resolutions. I will eat less. I will be more patient or loving or kind. And it's not that I don't tell myself these things too. I do. I will stop fighting with my spouse or child or parent. It's this litany of no's, of rejection of those parts of ourselves that we are most challenged to love. This year, I invite us down a different path, one filled with yeses. And you decide what those yeses are. My only requirement is this: they have to be life-affirming. Not from a place of should or must, but from a long-held desire or hope or dream. But before we get there, I want us to remember what it's like to say a big yes. And Betsy, I just want to invite you forward to sing again at this point. That would be enough. I've noticed that people that change the world in big ways, they have some shared qualities. They trust their vision, even when it makes no sense to the rest of us. They dream big, and they see possibilities rather than limiting factors. And they leave that construct behind entirely. And again, it's why on Christmas I talked about Jesus, but not just him. But we're going to go back to Jesus for a moment. Jesus lived in a time when the world was understood very differently from the construct we have now. The mystical and the tangible, the religious and the secular, they weren't that far apart. They were interwoven. Mystics, holy men and women were everywhere. I remember learning in seminary that Jesus was just one of many mystics of that time. One I loved learning about was named Honi. He was known as the circle drawer, or Honi Ma'agel. He lived in the first century BC. He was a Jewish scholar, reported to be the basis for much of the Mishnah, the Torah. He was but one of many miracle workers, prophets of that time. And I think about this because as Unitarian Universalists, we can be just a little bit cynical sometimes. We can think of we shun the biblical story because we understand it entirely as falsehood. Because we think of it as telling of miracles and impossible things, of being too far out there to have any possible relevance in our lives today, here and now. But it is relevant, as all of you who watched the swearing in of new house members saw this week. Because we're not speaking here solely of the Hebrew scriptures or the Christian Bible. I'm not limiting us to the Muslim Quran or the Hindu Vedas. I'm including the Jain Sutras and the Zoroastrian Avesta, and everything else, written or not, nature-based or human-focused. Because what all religion holds in common, the reason why religious communities exist, is to hold the space to know that we're not doing this alone. Yes, more is possible than I realize, and I can risk that from the safety of this community. So I'm going to give my usual caveat. I know that not everything is possible. I do know that there are some limiting factors and that there are structural disadvantages. I get all that. But right here and right now, I invite you in an uncharacteristically Unitarian Universalist way to give me a big yes. Can you do that?
Yes.
What is it you've been carrying on your heart? wanting to manifest. I want you, I want us to say yes, because I don't believe we know what's possible. I want us to say yes because maybe you are holy in ways that you don't understand or accept. I urge us to say yes because what can happen when we say yes is nothing short of miraculous. This is the year I invite us to say yes again and again. What's the impossible notion, the eternal no you want to say yes to? Bring that dream forth and say yes, resoundingly and with faith that it is in fact possible. May this year allow us to free ourselves of another layer of constraint, and may we move ever closer to our essential holiness. May it be so.